Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And we're on WNYC. And I want to say again, as I did at the top of the show, to those of you calling in or still hanging on from the Ask the Mayor segment, or some of you who might still be calling, as I see a lot of lines ringing, thinking you might be able to get through to the mayor, we only have one person screening calls today. We usually have two or three, but we're trying to have as few people as possible go into the studios. So please understand if the screener is moving fast to let you go after a segment ends or can't stay on the phone to talk to you, if we're not going to take your call on the air because we can't get everybody on the air. I'm sure you understand. Thanks for understanding. But our call screener, our sole call screener, is going to have to move through your calls quickly. So thank you very much for understanding that. You can call if you want to talk specifically to Senator Kirsten Gillibrand. Senator, thanks for continuing to come on during the crisis. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you so much. I'm delighted to be on.
So today, Congress, as I don't have to tell you, is expected to finalize its $2 trillion relief bill intended to support Americans as wide swaths of the economy are shutting down to fight the pandemic. It passed the Senate 96-0. And as you know, major components of the bill include direct payments to millions and generous unemployment coverage for laid off workers, plus about $500 billion for loans and investments in corporations. One thing the bill does not have is the support of New York Governor Cuomo. Here he is yesterday.
I'm disappointed. I said I was disappointed. I find it irresponsible. I find it reckless. Emotion is a luxury, and we don't have the luxury at this time of being emotional about what they did. When this is over, I promise you I'm going to give them a piece of my mind.
Senator, how is it that the governor and you and Senator Schumer are on such different pages on this?
Well, the governor is doing a great job. He is meeting the needs of New Yorkers. He is setting up overflow hospital beds in Javits Center. He's working with federal, state, and local governments to do the work that needs to be done in our state. So I really have to say he's doing an excellent job. And he, of course, is also asking for more money. That's what every good governor is going to do because he needs more money. Now, this bill was not intended to be a plug for anyone's budget and does not make any state or any entity whole at all. This bill was intended to be a triage bill to go to the most urgent emergency crises now, and we'll follow up with more bills. There'll be several more, I think, over the next few months. But New York does get a lot of money that it needed, and it's going to the places where it needed most. New York will probably get up to $40 billion in all the different places that we've made relief first, relief available to first. Most important, workers. We have about $15 billion coming straight into New York for the unemployed. These are really important checks and direct payments to people who are unemployed or furloughed or can't work because their kids are home from school and there's no one to look after them. That's going to matter to keep people actually buying groceries, paying bills, and staying alive. There's money for the city, direct money for New York City to help relieve their crisis, along with our counties, and billions for the governor to directly have. There's also money for mass transit, about $4 billion in direct aid to the states for mass transit. So this is really going to help the MTA. There's also a huge surge in resources for our hospitals. Now, New York has some of the best hospitals in the world, and they are doing the most cutting-edge work to overcome this virus, and they need the resources so they can get more supplies, they can get more masks, more ventilators, they can convert more of their surgeries into ICU beds. That's what a lot of the New York City hospitals are doing right now. And then there's a lot of money for small businesses and big businesses to stay open, to make sure the businesses, even if they have to close because of the social distancing requirements and because of the shutdown of non-essential businesses, their urge to keep paying their employees, which will help. And for small businesses, if they do that, the loans they're given, they can be turned into grants. So it's a first step, and it's an important first step, and it's to really help those most at need, most at risk right away.
I know one of the governor's objections is that the bill only includes about, I think the number is $150 billion for state and local governments, but that's considered very little when cities and states and counties are spending tons of public money right now to fight the pandemic, and there's less tax revenue coming in because businesses are shutting down. What was the resistance from your Republican colleagues, I guess, to getting more for local governments, especially for New York, the epicenter of the virus?
Well, you can credit Senator Schumer for actually getting that money in the bill. The first draft from Mitch McConnell didn't have any money for local governments, cities, or states, none. And so the reason why Democrats pushed back so hard when that first McConnell bill came out was because it just didn't meet the needs. There wasn't enough money for hospitals. There wasn't enough money for building the supply chain of medical equipment. There wasn't enough money for people. There wasn't enough money for cities and states and local governments. And so that's what we did. We pushed hard to get that money. Again, there's nothing perfect about this bill. There's a lot of problems. But the truth is, it's a triage bill. It is literally getting as much money into the hands who need it the absolute most as quickly as possible on a bipartisan basis. The good news for New York and states who are still in crisis and will need many more resources to get even close to being whole, we're already working on the next bill. Speaker Pelosi is going to take the lead on the next one, which means it will be more generous than certainly a Republican Senate-led bill. Yeah. So I think this bill, because of Senator Schumer, helps a lot in places where we're desperate to get the money. We also got a lot of money, for FEMA, which is really going to make a difference for New York because we are in the middle of a disaster and getting $45 billion into FEMA is going to make a big difference.
You've been pushing to fund the Defense Production Act, which the president has invoked but has not employed with any direct action, especially with respect to ventilators and masks and other personal protective equipment for healthcare workers, as you've been asking for, as the governor has been asking for, as we were speaking to Mayor de Blasio about in our previous segment. I want to play you a clip of what President Trump had to say about this on Fox last night. Here he is.
I don't believe you need 40,000 or 30,000 ventilators. You know, you go into major hospitals sometimes, they'll have two ventilators. And now all of a sudden they're saying, can we order 30,000 ventilators?
Governor Cuomo did cite that stat this week, 30,000 ventilators. The president doesn't believe them. What do you say?
The president is somewhat unhinged in his analysis. It actually makes no sense whatsoever. We have hospitals that are in desperate need for ventilators. The most hard-hit patients are seniors, are vulnerable patients who have low immune response. They need ventilators when they get shortness of breath. They need it when they're getting pneumonia. And that's what they're needed for. That's how you will let people survive. And we know from the crisis that already went through Italy and China that the lack of ventilators was what made the ultimate decision of who lived and who died in that crisis. So they had to choose between, you know, the 45-year-old mother with two children and the 85-year-old grandmother, and they had to choose the young woman over the older woman because they didn't have enough ventilators. So we don't want to have to make those horrible choices in our state and in our country. And so the president could not be more wrong. He should be using the Defense Production Act to basically tell manufacturers who have laser printing, who can laser print these ventilators now, to do it for the good of the country. This is nothing different than what we would do in a time of war. We should be on war footing. This is a moment for everyone to sacrifice, for businesses to be able to answer the call of duty, to do what is necessary to make more masks, to make more gowns, to make more ventilators. They should be doing it willingly and jumping at it. And if they're not, that's what the act is for. The reason why you have the Defense Production Act is because you can call on businesses to do the right thing regardless of what's in their financial interest.
And the president says he's calling on them in words to do the right thing, and they're stepping up. He cites GM, Ford, 3M, and others stepping up without needing to be ordered to make ventilators and other things by the federal government. Is he wrong?
Right. And one of the deals he thought he had, the price tag they put along for a few 10,000 of ventilators was $1 billion. So that sounds like massive price gouging to me. So the companies coming forward in good nature aren't so good natured when they're asking for $1 billion. So that's the truth. And I think that President Trump should be using the Defense Production Act better. But regardless of whether he chooses to or not, the military is doing their part. And the military is now trying to create a better nationalized supply chain for the resources that we need. They had a stockpile of several million of masks. They've already released about 1 million of them. They had a stockpile of thousands of ventilators. They've released 2,000 of them. And so the Navy's about to send the USS Comfort to New York Harbor. They're going to leave tomorrow. They'll be there on Monday. And that will be a emergency hospital base for non-COVID patients. So anybody who isn't getting care and doesn't want to go into the hospital because the number of COVID patients, they'll be able to go to the USS Comfort, where it's going to be docked right in New York City. And there's two other ships, one I think in L.A. and the other in Seattle.
New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand is with us. Annie in Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn. You're on WNYC with Senator Gillibrand. Hi, Annie.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So I'm here in Bed-Stuy, and I have two roommates who have been out of work for about 2 weeks because they work in restaurants. And we're sincerely concerned about how we're going to pay rent April 1st. And not just us, our whole community. I spoke to my aunt in Syracuse. She's also very concerned about her community. I think the biggest concern here in Brooklyn is that things are going to get actually violent. Like, we're already seeing, like, an uptick in just, local robberies in my neighborhood. And I'm just hearing people on the streets, like, very, very concerned about violence coming if people have to pay their rent April 1st.
Senator, is there anything in the bill that helps people pay their rent in terms of restricting landlords' ability to pay?
So a couple of things.
To collect, I would say.
In the bill, there's a full paycheck replacement for most working Americans. They'll get a $600 increase in their normal unemployment benefit, which will be about 100% of wages for most Americans without a paycheck. I know there's mayors, including New York City mayor, who has asked for forbearance and that no one can be kicked out of their apartment if they can't pay their rent. There's also going to be money for people who are furloughed or who are unemployed, for anyone earning less than $75,000, which may be you. You will get $1,200 per person. And if you are married, a couple can get who earn up to $150,000 can get an additional $1,200. And then since you had children, but if you did, you'd be able to get money per child.
But not in time to pay her April 1st rent. Is there anything you can offer her, even in terms of advice, about that?
I would call your landlord directly and ask for forbearance on your rent for the next 3 months. And hopefully he understands or she understands that the money that's being sent from the federal government will be arriving in 3 weeks. And they should use kindness and generosity in this time of need. To the extent the landlord has his own mortgage he or she has to pay, we have there's money for people for relief if the federal-backed mortgage. There's forbearance, I think, for a few months so that no federal mortgages have to be paid back during the crisis.
I want to ask you about something that I think you got in the law, the Relief Act, that is of particular interest to you, and that is some kind of protection for women who are stuck at home in situations of domestic violence, and all of a sudden their abuser is home from work full time. Sometimes it's men in these cases, but mostly women. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, so we heard from a lot of our not-for-profits around the state that there were a massive increase in domestic violence because people are staying home. When money is short, that's often the source of a lot of tensions in families. And so we sent a bipartisan letter to HHS urging the administration to fund all the organizations that help domestic violence victims and survivors. The emergency relief package included $45 million for Family Violence Prevention Services Act, which is basically all the programs that support domestic violence shelters and services for families. We have to make sure that shelters remain open and available for families if they do need to seek shelter, and we want to fund those not-for-profits. The second thing that's relevant to this is there's a lot of not-for-profits in New York City and in our state that actually provide that shelter. All the not-for-profits who are under 500 employees are part of the small business investment that we made, $370 billion. Going into small businesses in the form of loans. If they retain their employees during this crisis, those loans become grants, and so the money does not need to be repaid. Our not-for-profits are included in that pile of money.
Batya in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC with Senator Kirsten Gillibrand. Hi, Batya.
Yes, hi. How are you today? I'm actually calling because I know that all of our elected officials in D.C. and other places have been so busy with passing all these packages. But my question is, you know, Trump has had this megaphone earpiece right now every single day, and I don't know where Biden is. Where is everybody? Where are the Democrats,
Biden,
like, talking about the politics that we really need to be talking about right now to, you know, to contradict what's happening with Trump and his people, and just kind of, you know, just because this is happening, politics are still going on, and there is going to be an election in November.
And Senator, I get this call every day now that Governor Cuomo is out there every day, but he's not going to be the one running against Trump in November. You're out there every day, et cetera, but Joe Biden doesn't have that megaphone that Batya was referring to of this daily news conference, which we know the president is using like a virtual rally before he hands it over to the public health officials to answer the real questions. Where is Joe Biden, and is there anything else the party could be doing as the president's approval ratings go up during this crisis, even though I think you think he's handling it terribly?
So I think Vice President Biden has issued significant public statements, and he gave a speech two days ago on this very issue. And I think that the truth is it's not a time for politics, so it's not something that we're going to be consuming right now. I think it is a time for leadership, though, and I think what Vice President Biden has shown is he is the leader for this moment. He has been through these crises before. He did serve in the Obama administration during the Ebola crisis. He led a lot of the issues to get the care that was needed to the patients and the supply chain for our hospitals during that crisis. He also lived through a lot of other crises like 9/11 and other times where, as a senator, he worked very hard to meet the needs of Americans. So I think one of the reasons why people look to him in a lot of these early contests was that he has lived a lot of this. He's endured enormous amounts of challenges in his life and overcome them, just as Americans are dealing with those very same kind of challenges today with loved ones who are sick or loved ones who have died. And so I think this is a moment that's really not about politics. It's about leadership and providing a vision for this country. I think the American people have seen that President Trump is unwilling to provide that leadership. For him to say that he doesn't want a cruise ship to dock in the United States because he doesn't want his numbers to go up, I mean, I can't think of a less of a leadership quality than that, to be afraid of numbers, to be afraid to lead in a time of crisis, to be unwilling to use the Defense Production Act to tell companies to meet the needs of this moment and stop worrying about their bottom line. We just gave hundreds of billions of dollars to help small businesses and large businesses survive this crisis. We will do more. And every company in America and every boss in America should be thinking about, how can I keep paying my employees? How can I keep making sure that this economy can survive? and worry about his or her stock price in the future. So I think President Trump is failing to lead in every regard, and I think the American people are watching it, and they're watching it in real time. And so they're grateful for governors like Governor Cuomo and other governors around the country who are stepping up to meet the needs by getting hospital beds up and running, by getting masks and ventilators in place for the crisis that is looming. They're doing the right thing. President Trump isn't. President Trump is not creating the supply chain he should be. People are doing it around him because he's unwilling to lead.
Do you think that just as New Yorkers are being asked to self-quarantine if they go anywhere else in the country for 14 days, because New York has most of the cases in the country, the greater New York area does, just as that's happening, that New York is being politically quarantined by the president or the Senate Republicans because New York doesn't matter to their reelections, or New York is disliked anyway by parts of red America when the president talks about opening the economy in other parts of the country and pushes back, like in the clip that we played earlier, disbelieving Governor Cuomo's estimate of how many ventilators are needed here.
I think President Trump has been acting so irresponsibly. It's difficult to even address it because it's so outrageous. I think what Governor Cuomo will continue to do is tell people the facts, tell people the actual situation on the ground, make the case for why we need the Defense Production Act to be in place and why we need all the stockpiles to be released. We need the FEMA money to be released. We just, again, gave them another $45 billion. New York hasn't received all the FEMA money it should have. And so our job is just to keep advocating for the way things should be, despite the fact that President Trump is unwilling to do his job.
Alicia in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC with Senator Kirsten Gillibrand. Hi, Alicia.
Hi, Senator. I'm currently living in temporary housing. I have three young daughters. My oldest is out of school because of the pandemic. But due to the fact that we're in temporary housing, we don't have any internet access. Also, the Department of Education will not give her a device to do her schoolwork because she's in a private school utilizing a subsidy through the city. So they said they can't help us with that. Also, like, obviously my kids are home. They're making a lot of noise. The shelter, they're constantly saying that they're making too much noise. So then I feel like I have to leave, which is not safe for me to be outside. I was outside the whole day yesterday with nowhere to go. There's just so many layers to this pandemic, and it affects the most vulnerable in huge ways. And you can't find permanent housing in the city. The stuff that they're saying that they're doing to help, instead of building more shelters, just turn those buildings into permanent housing for homeless people. I've been going through this for almost 2 years now.
And
it's
Senator,
crazy.
Senator, is there anything you can do to help Alicia? This might be more of a city issue directly, but what could you do to help her?
So, first of all, Alicia, I am sorry that you are going through such horrible crisis. I can't imagine as a mother how fearful it is to keep three children, young children, safe when you don't even have a control over your own setting. I think a couple things need to happen. First of all, we are trying to help the not-for-profits that can provide permanent shelter. So I would love to help you personally. We have caseworkers in our Senate office that can work with the not-for-profits to try to find you permanent shelter. So I would like to do that offline after this call. Second, going outside is not a bad thing. It's actually a good thing. And getting your kids out into the fresh air is a great thing. Just socially distance. Try to bring them to Central Park where other people aren't and let them run around. That will be good for them, not bad for them. The lack of access to computers is disgraceful. We have to call on the Silicon Valley companies of the country to literally make online learning available to every student in America. And for all the billions of dollars they make every year, they should be literally sending computers to every household that doesn't have one. So on this call, I'm literally calling on the Facebooks and the Googles and the Twitters of the world to use their billions to help people who are in desperate need right now. So I will work on that. I will collaborate with the mayor to see and the governor to see if we can figure out how to get computers in every student's hands, especially homeless students and students who are in temporary housing. But I will work to try to find you housing, particularly if you offline, Brian, you can give us her number, and we'll have our office work with her to find better housing.
Alicia, hang on. We'll make that connection. Senator, thank you for helping that constituent of yours, or at least trying to. And there's one more question that I want to make sure to get to you from the phones. A number of people are calling in with the same question. And Reggie in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC with Senator Kirsten Gillibrand. Hello.
Hello. I filed a claim for unemployment online. The claim is not complete until you follow up by calling the unemployment office for an interview. I've called every day for 2 weeks, and I can't get through, and when I do get through, they disconnect the call. So I hear the relief money approved by Congress will only come to people on unemployment. So will people like me in limbo who can't complete their claims over the phone still be eligible for relief?
Senator.
Yes, you are absolutely eligible for relief. Just keep trying to get your claim filed. Literally keep trying. Try every day so that you can get your claim filed. But our office can also help. So you can call my Senate office in New York City and ask for support on getting that claim filed. We might be able to help you with any federal agency. And our staff are obviously all working remotely. But if you call our office and leave your name and number, they will call you back, and they will actually figure out how to get you support in filing that claim.
That's another call we're getting every day, multiple people in this segment, so Reggie represents them. People can't get through to the unemployment office. They're having trouble, and I guess it makes sense if, you know, all of a sudden 30% of New York households, which is the stat I saw, having at least one person who's unemployed, then there's going to be a bottleneck for a while.
Yeah, 3.3 million claims were filed last week. So it's not surprising that it's hard to get through, but 3.3 million people did get through. So please keep trying. Don't give up, and call my Senate office in New York to assist you if you still can't get it filed. We can see how we can facilitate that. I'll also make sure I call the Department of Labor to tell them how difficult it is for people to file their unemployment claims, so they can maybe set up more numbers or more at least an online way to file your claim without over the phone. That would be certainly more efficient.
Any last word for everybody as you go? What happens tomorrow in this crazy new world?
So for all our listeners, this is a very difficult time for everyone in our state and our country. But it is not dissimilar to other crises that we have lived through. We should be on war footing. We should understand that every family can make sacrifices to help everyone else. One thing we can literally all do is stay home as much as we can and only go out for a little bit of sunshine and exercise, which is important. To go get your groceries, to go to the pharmacy, to get the necessities. Every time you practice social distancing, you're stopping the transmission of the virus to another person. That is very, very helpful in defeating this virus and defeating this crisis. Staying at home is meaningful, and washing your hands and Cloroxing all your doorknobs and everything else you can do in your home, that's helpful. And just know that we are in this together. We will get through this. We are a strong and resilient country. We've gotten through World War I, World War II, Great Depression. We've gotten through 9/11. And we did it with a great deal of kindness and love for each other. So I would just focus on what we can do every day to help others and to make sure that this virus doesn't get transmitted more. Second, if you know someone who's vulnerable, a senior citizen, a grandparent, a neighbor, make sure you're checking in with them by phone. Call them, find out how they're doing, see if they need food or medicine, the kinds of things we can do for each other, drop off groceries at somebody's door who can't go out, who's afraid to go out. Those are the daily kindnesses that can literally save lives. So do not be discouraged. And if anyone is having trouble with any federal agency, please call my Senate office, and we will help. We will do anything we can to make this time go by faster and better. And this amount of money that we just voted on and the House is going to vote on today, it's just a first step. It won't meet everyone's needs, but if we continue to elevate each other's voices, the next bill and the next bill and the next bill will hopefully get us closer to keeping people safe and making sure people don't go out of business and making sure people don't lose their jobs and making sure people are able to provide for their children. And that's what we are here for. That's the purpose of government. And we are not going to grow weary. We're going to work hard every day, and we're going to work on your behalf.
New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, we always appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Brian.